Proverbs are written with a lot of do this and don't do that, and do this and don't do that, and do this and don't do that. And it's very easy to read it as a big, long, lengthy list of rules. And I know many Christians who read through the Proverbs and they read these rules and say, do this, and if you do this, this will happen, and do this, and if you do that, that will happen. Let's think about rules for just a second. Rules are easy. Black and white, right and wrong, yes and no. Rules let us know what's expected. Rules let us know what's safe. Rules let us know what's normal. Rules let us know what's proper. Keep your hands and feet inside the ride at all times. Stay off the lawn. Don't do drugs. Don't drive faster than 100 kilometers per hour. I before E, except after E. Rules are easy because a good rule is clear. A good rule is unambiguous. It says this is what you're supposed to do or not do. A good rule leaves us with no guesswork, no calculations, no need to figure it out. In our world, we talk as though personal freedom is a high celebration, but rules still sell. Rules give us comfort. You look at the list of some of the best leadership books or self-help books, and you get things like 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Do these 7 things, and you've got it figured out. How to Win Friends and Influence People. Let us tell you how. The 7 Spiritual Laws of Success. 48 Laws of Power. 12 Rules for Life. People want to know what the rules are. Rules can be great. You know, when I want to know how to fix a computer or how to plug in my appliance to get it work or how to keep my hands and feet attached to my body while I'm on the roller coaster, rules can be very helpful. But more often than not, rules can leave us with some problems. Stay off the lawn unless you're mowing it. Or unless your dog's been on it, then you better get on that lawn and pick up after it. Don't do drugs, but I have a headache. Or Parkinson's. Or chronic pain. Or until the government figures out it can make money off of it. Don't drive faster than 100 kilometers an hour, but if you're on the 401, you'd better be driving faster so you can keep up with traffic. I before E, except after C. Well, friends, to achieve success, you'd better believe that you need to retrieve all of the exceptions to this one. That's weird. Sorry. All the language people are catching up here. Sorry. Rules and exceptions, laws and exemptions, expectations with dispensations. Every time we turn around, demands change, and the thing we must obey, it's like, well, obey this rule. Well, other than this exception, and this exception, and this exception. Rules can be helpful, but sometimes they cause more harm because we throw a rule at somebody, and then we tell them all the reasons and ways you don't obey that rule. When we get to Proverbs, you get to a bunch of things that could be read as rules. Do this. Do not do this. Honor this. Do not do that. And when you were reading the Bible and we're told things, you know, this is what you have to do. We need to obey this book. And you get these things that are listed as rules, but then sometimes they don't work. It can get really confusing for people. I know a lot of people who have actually said, it's telling me to do this, and that doesn't work, or it didn't work this one time, so it must not be true, it must not be right, and they decided to throw it away. That comes from not understanding what Proverbs are really about. What is supposed to be our guide if it's not rules? The one word answer for what's supposed to be our guide is wisdom. Wisdom. This using accumulated knowledge and experience and advice we get from others, using those things to discern not a rule, but a best option, a wise course of action. Wisdom, in fact, presumes that rules are inadequate for living, or at least inadequate for healthy living. And at some point, Wisdom itself believes that even wisdom fails us. Even wisdom doesn't work all the time. Does anybody realize that it's hard to make life work all the time? A few weeks ago, we looked at Ecclesiastes, and we saw that even in this book of wisdom, we're reminded that wisdom itself is no guarantee things are going to go well, that things are going to work in our favor. Wisdom doesn't even make itself a rule, because every rule is wrought with exceptions. Rather than offering us rules, wisdom offers us advice based on experience, based on observations, for how we can live the best that we can. Not perfectly, not in a way that everything goes perfectly, but the best we can in light of what we have. And that's what the book of Proverbs is all about. Wise advice for how to live well. It doesn't try to give the exceptions. It presumes you're going to understand that sometimes there's going to be exceptions. But as a general rule, here's some wise advice on how to live. And it doesn't have to say, you know, don't touch the stove. There's a rule. But hey, could you pick up the cloth and wipe down the cool stove that needs to be cleaned up? It doesn't throw the exception in there. It presumes that we understand that it's wisdom, and that we take this wisdom and this other wisdom and this other wisdom and this other wisdom, and collectively we can use that to make wise and discerning choices in the moments that we live. The first two chapters of Proverbs serve as an introduction to the book. They're telling us why we should pay attention to wisdom, why wisdom is important. Listen again to why we should pay attention to the Proverbs that come in the rest of the book. Proverbs chapter 1 that I read says that these Proverbs, this book, it's here to help us gain wisdom and instruction, for receiving words of insight, for receiving instructions in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair. It's advice on how to live well. Advice on doing the things that are proper. And the end of the first chapter sums up the danger of not paying attention to the wisdom that's coming. And it talks about the benefits of hearing it and applying it. It says, the waywardness of the simple, those who reject the wisdom, it's going to kill them. The complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me, that's wisdom speaking, whoever listens to wisdom is going to live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. Again, not really a promise. This is like a generally speaking, if you follow this stuff, things are going to be better for you. Chapter 2 continues with this theme of why it's important to pay attention to wisdom. And it creates an if-then scenario. You know, if you do this, this goes back to math rules that I learned. If you do this, then you must do this. But this if-then scenario is a little bit different. Starts with, my son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom, applying your heart to understanding. Indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, if you look for it as for silver and search for it as hidden treasure, if you are doing this stuff, if you are trying to understand and live by wisdom, then, verse 5, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. If you are pursuing wisdom, then you get to verse 9. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. I love this if-then explanation because it explains that wisdom will help us both in verse 5, love God well. If you do this, then you'll understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And love each other well, verse 9. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. How to justice is always, always, always connected with living well with other people in the Bible, by the way. Justice is not something that is just like between you and God ever. It always plays itself out in our relationships with people. When you see that word justice, it's talking about interpersonal stuff. When you read this thing, if you pay attention to wisdom, you'll learn to love God well and love each other well. That sounds a lot like Jesus. This is how Jesus speaks to us about what is good, right, and healthy living. As we move through the Proverbs over the coming weeks, we're going to discover a number of short sayings that offer us sage advice. Not rules, but general guiding principles. There's no promise they're always going to work out the way we want them to work out. But on the whole, life will be better if we follow wisdom than if we don't. If we do the wise thing rather than the foolish thing. In the moment, it might seem like it's more fun to do this, well, I'll say it, stupid thing. But long term, that picture you post is going to come back. It's going to come back on you. On the whole, life will be better if you follow the wisdom that is in the world. Before we wrap up, I just want to look at a really quick foundational piece of advice found in Proverbs 1 and 2. Something more specific than just, hey, pay attention to wisdom. Feels like one of those things you shouldn't have to say, but I don't know if you're like me, sometimes we get so caught up with stuff that we actually don't pause and think, actually, what's the wisest decision here? Sometimes we get caught up in what's the most fun or what do I want to do instead of what's wisdom in this moment. But one clear, specific piece of advice. It's the kind of advice, like much of what you get to when you read through the book of Proverbs, is the kind of advice that could fall under the heading of common sense. But I've heard it said that the problem with common sense is that it's not all that common and a lot of it doesn't make sense. But this is one of those things that it should make sense. If you want to live well, here's a starting piece of advice. You find it in Proverbs chapter 1. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. They are a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. Father and mother in this I think they're literally father and mother, but they're something more than that. They're representative of those who have gone before and have gained wisdom through life experience. Pay attention to the people who've learned lessons in life. Pay attention to the people who have gone through this before you. Learn from them. At the heart of it, it's saying, you know what? Spend time with, paying attention to, the people who have wisdom. The people who have learned what works and what doesn't work. The people who have learned how to be healthy, whole people, and those who are not. Or not those who are not. Pay attention to those people. Spend time with people and pay attention to the people who have something to build into your life. They may not always be the people that you feel are the most fun, but if you want to live well, they're the ones you need to pay attention to and spend time with. The flip side is the verses that come next. My son, if sinful men entice you, don't give in to them. These people who say, hey, come with us while we go and do these things. It'll be so much fun and you'll get money out of it and you'll get... If they're trying to pull you away from these people who have wisdom, don't spend your time with them paying attention to them. Don't let those be the voices that are guiding you and shaping you. I was listening to something yesterday. It was talking about how much media shapes us. Yeah, the old computer term, I don't know if they still use this in computer programming, but garbage in, garbage out. The stuff that you take in is what's going to shape you and what's going to come out of you. So the first basic piece of wisdom is spend your time with people who are building well into you, helping you learn the good things in life. And those that are not, it doesn't mean you ignore them. Doesn't mean that you never are with them, because you look later, we're supposed to be missional people. We're supposed to be people who live in a relationship with, but they aren't supposed to be the ones that are shaping us. We're supposed to be the salt and light that are helping to shape them well. That's the really basic starting piece of wisdom. Again, it seems like common sense, but we don't always practice it well. I'm going to leave you with that as like one piece of wisdom, something for you to take with you this week to think, who am I spending my time with? How am I spending my time being built into by people that are positive? Just quick story. I grew up in a context where sarcasm reigned, like where put downs of people and jokes at the expense of people. That was just standard, to the extent that I remember sitting with my best friend among a group of strangers, and someone interrupted us and said, "I'm sorry, do you guys even like each other? Because all you've done since you've been here is rip each other." And we were so accustomed to that we didn't notice it. And it's been effort and work to change out of that. But I find for myself, if I'm in a context where that's the culture, I so easily slide back into doing all the stuff at the expense of other people. And so I need to be aware of that. And so for me, one of the things I need to do is be very aware of it. And if I find that, I need to step out of that, because I know it's not healthy for me and others. So what are some of the ways? For some of us, it's just negativity. For some of us, it's specific. It's not the words we say. It's things that we're actually doing, that if you spend time around people who are doing it, you're going to get sucked into it, and you need to be around people who are building other things into your life. So what is it for you? I leave that for you to think about and consider and wrestle with as you move through the rest of the summer. But I want to wrap up with something that comes at the end of chapter 2 that I think is pretty awesome. It's all this advice about follow wisdom, listen to wisdom, pay attention to wisdom, learn wisdom. And it gets to the end, and it says, "For the upright will live in the land." The upright, those who are following the ways of wisdom, that are living right, just, healthy lives. "The upright will live in the land, and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the unfaithful will be torn from it." What does that mean for us? The land is a core part of, for the people of Israel, that is like the heart of the blessing that God first promised through Abraham, that he was going to raise up this nation and they were going to be blessed to be a blessing and they were going to get this land. Land and blessing, land and being in that place where God wants you to be, that healthy, whole place, the place where peace, shalom, is offered. Those things are all interconnected. So when it says the people who live by wisdom, you're going to live well in this land. You're going to remain in it. What this saying is, if you follow this wisdom, if you really seek to live by this, you're going to be living in that sweet spot that God has for you. Living in this place of joy and peace, that place that God has made you to be in. That's what he wants for you. And keeps going, the wicked, those who reject wisdom, those who put it off, they're going to be cut off from the land. They're going to be torn from it. They're going to be standing on the outside longing for that peace, longing for that rest, longing for that place where they are free to thrive and blossom and flourish. That's the hope that wisdom offers. That's why these wisdom books are so important, is that it's God speaking to us saying, I want you to be healthy and whole. I want you to be in that place where you can just be fully alive and at peace and be all that you're made to be. So pay attention to my wisdom so that you can find that place and not be chasing after other things and find yourself just sitting on the outside looking in, wondering if it's ever possible to have that sense of peace and rest. That's the heart of wisdom. That's why Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, this is why when Jesus comes, he says things like he's fulfilled the law, and so we move past the law, not because it's not helpful, but because in the language of the New Testament, it was kind of like for the children in us. You know, rules for kids can be helpful until they learn that wisdom is what we're actually invited into. Wisdom is the maturing thing that we're invited into so that we can be vibrant, healthy, flourishing people, enjoying the peace and rest that God actually longs for us to have. I'm looking forward to, now next week is going to be VBS Celebration Sunday, but for the rest of the summer, we're going to be looking at some of the pieces of wisdom, some of what God says about different things from a wisdom perspective. Not a rule perspective, a wisdom perspective, that we can be learning how to live well in the world. I hope it's helpful to you. If there is a proverb that you're like, I've heard this one, it doesn't make any sense to me, I can send, give you Glenn's email address. He'd be more than happy. No, you can send that through. But I'm looking forward to exploring this summer and discovering more of this wonderful life that God longs for us to live, free from rules and excited to just live well together. Let's close in prayer. God, I thank you that your heart for us is not one that's full of rules and weight and musts and then figuring out, well, how come it didn't work and what are all the exceptions? But God, your heart for us is that we would be able to learn well, that we would be able to learn wisdom and grow in wisdom. And what's one of the beautiful things about wisdom is that there's always growing in it. We never have it all figured out. And so there's a freedom in that, oh man, I missed that one, but I've learned something and that will help me for my next step forward. I just ask that you would help us to have a sense of freedom in that and where we're struggling, that we would know that your heart is just absolutely full of love for us and you want us to enjoy this life that we have been put in and to live well. God, I want to pray for those right now who the idea of enjoyment is hard because of the pain they're feeling, because of an ache that they have in them, because of grief. I want to pray especially for those who know and love Millie. As she's passed away, just ask that you would comfort them. I just ask that you would help us who are struggling to know that your heart for us is one of deep, deep love, that you share our sorrow with us, that you meet us in that, and that you want to help us to find a way to live well in the place where we currently are while we take the next steps forward. God, I want to pray for VBS that's coming. We don't know for sure how many kids are going to be here, and God, I just ask that you would have the right kids here that need to hear this message of love from you. That you would help us to not just speak it, to put it on display well in how we interact with each other and in how we interact with each of the kids and parents and family members that are a part of this week. God, thank you for the privilege of living in this place as a part of this family, as a part of this community. Help us to continue to grow in living this life well. God, as we go from this place now, I just ask that you would give us a hunger for you and a hunger to love each other well. Thank you that you go with us by your Spirit, full of grace, inviting us to learn and struggle and stumble and grow and just to enjoy the whole journey of it all. In Jesus' name, amen.